I will never break my covenant with you. We just sang that song, Standing on the Promises. And we all know that the children of Israel, what did they do to deserve the slavery and bondage they were in? We don't need to really care or worry about the circumstances, but we need to understand one thing. God delivered them from bondage. He delivered them from slavery. Dan and I were just talking about before the time here, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. You shall be out of bondage. It's a promise He gives everyone who accepts Jesus as a Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So God says, Judges 2, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league. Now listen, you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? I delivered you from bondage and slavery, but you don't listen to me no more. Why did you do this? Why do we keep falling back into sins that beset us? Why do we keep... I'm speaking to believers now. You know the glory will soon be when we die. We're going straight to heaven. Amen? And knowing that, how can we keep falling into these things in this world? Because we're sinners. We're sinners. Why have you done this? God asked. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. God's angry. God's angry because they've turned back to sin. I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spoke these words unto all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voice and wept. We hear in Scripture that if God be for us, who can be against us, right? The answer is nobody. And God is for us, and He is there always, ready to save us, deliver us, help us. But yet we turn our back. We turn our back, and when the world, when things happen, when things at work, things at home, and circumstances happen, then we wonder where God is. God has never left. We've left. We're disobedient. We weep. And they called that name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Why are they sacrificing? Because they're like, Lord, come back, come back, come back. We want your blessings again. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. So once again, Joshua dies, a generation goes by, and they forget all about God again. Again. I mean, there's a little challenge right there, as Dan mentioned at the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ needs to be on our mouth, our thoughts, every single day, explaining to our nephews and nieces and children and bosses and colleagues, why? You don't have to, knock them off their computer and start giving the gospel, but I'm saying be a living testimony of the name Jesus, because He is the only truth there is. And it just takes one generation to forget all He's done for them. And it's the same with you. As a believer in the Lord, you all have family members, whether it's your own children or your grandchildren, whether it's your niece or nephews, you have people you can influence continually each day. We cannot have people forget. This do in remembrance of me. And what happens when we forget? The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other small g gods of the gods of the people that were around them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. We see it all the time. Someone goes to jail, they become saved. The Lord blesses them by giving them early parole. They get off. And what do they find a year from now? Back to the old way of life. Forgetting what the Lord did for them. We have such short-term memories. Amen? I mean, we can't remember what we ate last week. We forget what God does for us. Count your blessings each and every day. Don't forget. You will go back to those sins, those thorns in our sides that have taken us down. They bowed themselves under these false gods and provoked the Lord to anger once again. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. That word hot means right before, if you got a piece of paper and you got some embers burning on it, you blow it on a fire maybe. Right when that fire ignites, that's what this word hot means. Right when that fire ignites. He was hot against Israel and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of the enemies around about so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. He delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. I was saved when I was 27 years old. A lot of you know that. I grew up in Catholicism. And I knew God. I prayed to God all the time since I can remember. But I can honestly say, every single time I prayed for Him to help me. When I was 6 years old and I was locked in the toy chest, when the teacher left my kindergarten class, I remember the kids giggling as Joey Demick shoved the door shut of this big, huge, big wooden crate that came out with all the toys. And I climbed in there and he shut it. And I'll never forget seeing that little crack and seeing the teacher come in and wonder where I'm at. And I'm just praying. I'm saying, God, please, God, don't give me in trouble. Don't give me trouble. Don't let my parents know. I remember shooting that spit wad in fifth grade, hitting someone right in the forehead, getting in trouble. Please, please, God, please. I would always do that. And then it started getting more serious. When I first got drunk, please, 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 when I was 15. God, please, don't let my parents find out. And then they wouldn't find out. And then 6 months later, I'd be doing the same thing, start drinking again. Then I remember the first time I drove a car drunk. I remember getting home, not even know how I got home, and praying to God. See, God, I didn't even have a relationship. But God would keep delivering me for these over and over and over. I'll never drink again. I'll never drink. You hear it? You have a terrible, hangover. You're throwing up all over the place. And that morning, I'll never do this again. And 6 months later, you're doing it again. I lived the whole life. We do it. But here's the thing. What's my excuse now that I have the Holy Spirit living in me, guiding me? You see? If everyone here is a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you, guiding you, showing you scriptures, the Word of God, listening to sermons, having people encourage you. There's no excuse. But guess what? He's still there to deliver you, isn't he? He's still there to deliver you. Even though you keep messing up. We keep messing up. The point of this particular verse I just read, and I'll keep reading, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers. See, God's an equal opportunity deliverer. He'll deliver you out of trouble if you scream out to him, yell out to him, ask him. But he'll also deliver the enemy into your hands and give them the weapons He'll give Satan the tools to help keep pushing you, pushing you, pushing you, pushing you, till you turn to Him. Same word in the Hebrew, deliver either way. He delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of the enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Like I just said, He delivered the enemy. Then He delivered them after they had started, you know, thinking we got an issue here, we're going to repent. He delivered them judges that helped the destruction of the hand of the spoil them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods. Okay, so God gives you a leader. He gives you someone you've been, you know, to lead you, a judge to make sense of all this, and yet they would not listen to them. They went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of the enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers. So this leader they give them, they finally say, okay, we'll follow him. And as soon as he dies, they go back to their old ways again. Continuous cycle. That's exactly right, sister. Back and forth. When I told Bob asked me what I'm preaching, I said, judges. He goes, oh, back and forth, over and over. It's exactly what he said. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, here's him being hot again. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that these people have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Joshua 2, which I just read, just think about this. Listen to these. Snare, evil, provoked, anger, hot, whoring, repented, vexed, corrupted, transgressed. This is just a handful of the words, what I just read. God takes disobedience serious. Would you agree? He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. If you think about this, think about this. Osama bin Laden, all the stuff he committed, all the atrocities, right? We killed them and we celebrate. Hitler was killed and we celebrate. Stalin was killed and we celebrate. These mass murders, Ted Bundy. They're killed and we celebrate because of the atrocities committed. You get it? What did Jesus do? 100% God? Like Dan said, 100% white? Never, never committed a sin? Helped never stopped helping people, stopping people. But yet we hear of all these atrocities going on at our own army bases, our own military bases, and the pedophilia that's going on, and all this craziness going on right now in this world. I mean, we hear it every day, right? It's getting worse and worse and worse, right? Nothing's changed. Since Adam and Eve, nothing's changed. The only thing that's changed is technology, because we can see it now. Right? That's it. We got 24/7 news cycles. We got all this. Everyone's got their phone. I don't have my phone on me. Good. Everyone's got the iPad. All that. And you can see everything going on. Nothing's changed. Evil is evil. Evil is evil. But God is God. God is God. He hates disobedience. He hates disobedience. He hates when you turn when you turn away from a circumstance you can help because you got to get home to dinner or you got to get home to watch a football game. He hates disobedience. Over and over and over, the children of Israel who were taken out of slavery. They're taking out of bondage. I used to cry myself to sleep because I said I had a relationship with God. I just didn't have a personal relationship with His Son Jesus. I didn't understand it. I used to look at the clouds and ask Him to write something up there for me so I can communicate to God. Nobody told... 27 years in the Catholic Church, nobody ever told me about Jesus. Now think about that. My mom was... Think about it. Think about it. And we sit there and we don't want a Catholic bash. I'm not bashing Catholics. I'm talking about the system. The ism. That's what I'm talking about. There's no room in there for disobedience. You have to be obedient. Jesus, God, there is room for disobedience. Why? Because of His mercy. He continually lets us, boom, Jesus paid for all the sins. He paid for everything. It's over. And that's what these verses are so beautiful because it's go back forth, right. Praise God. Praise God for that. This word, deliver, you hear me saying a lot, deliver, right? He continues to deliver us. Think about the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, forgive those, and deliver from evil. Deliver us from evil. And it's interesting, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, deliver us from evil. It doesn't say keep us away from evil. You see? There's going to be evil. There's evil every single day. Deliver us from that evil, Lord. When we get ourselves into a situation, Lord, He's there. God's there wanting to deliver you out of the mess you put yourself in. You put yourself in. Don't blame God. Don't ever blame God. And the children of Israel, it's not that they blame God. They didn't care. They wanted to serve their own lust, their own flesh, their own desires. We were bought and paid for by a price. How dare we even think about the iPads again. You think that's just circumstance that we always say the iPad, I plus, I. No. Satan's laughing. He loves that. We're using the word I every single day. In the middle of the word sin stands I, the letter I. You know, it's I. Anyways, listen to this. This is the word, the whole concept of salvation comes from deliverance. This word yasha in the Hebrew, originally this root was believed to mean to be open, wide, and free. This is yasha, which is the Hebrew for deliver, the word deliver, save, help. It is the opposite of tesarar, which means to cramp. In other words, when one has plenty of room in which to move, he feels safe and secure, yasha. It's the opposite of feeling cramped, right? Anna, where's Anna at? Is she in here? Oh, she's ready to have a baby. You see, the baby is in her stomach cramped. You see? So what's going to happen? The baby's going to be what? She's going to have a delivery. You see? So when we're cramped in our sin, we're cramped with things around us, right? We need to be free. Free, wide open. To be open, wide. In the Hebrew text, they understood what this meant. It's a freedom. So Moses delivered them from Egypt. We're free. Right? What are we going to do with that freedom? What are we going to do when the Lord delivers you from the next situation you're in? Are you going to thank Him and move on and a month from now, 6 months from now, it's back to... Or are you going to seriously start considering what the Lord has done for you, what He will do for you, and be obedient. Read your Bible. Constantly think about the Lord. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Thanks, brother. Pray without ceasing. Every day. There's a situation every day you can be praying for those around you, your bosses. And not pray for yourself and what you can get. Pray for others. Pray for the salvation of souls. Pray for people to see and understand that there is an answer. You know, it's not Donald Trump, but it's not Bernie Sanders, not Hillary Clinton. These aren't our answers. Okay? It's not Democrats, not Republican. It's being a Christian, Jesus Christ. He is the answer, always will be, always was. But interesting, so that word, we'll continue on with the meaning of that word. Yasha means, therefore, to be delivered, saved, to get help, to deliver, give victory, to help, to take vengeance, to preserve. Judges 10:13, Jeremiah 31:7 are a couple of verses. The ASV has rescue, defend cause. The RSV uses the word Savior. It is noteworthy that the personal name of our Savior Jesus is derived from this root, Yasha. So the personal name of our Savior Jesus comes from Yasha. Matter of fact, another neat little thing here is Jesus at his triumphal entry in the New Testament in Matthew, they use the word Hosanna, which is directly traceable to this verb as well. At first, Yasha pointed to a... Now listen. At first, Yasha pointed to a physical deliverance from very real enemies or catastrophes. Later, save developed a theological meaning. God is concerned about our physical well-being, our emotional status, but most important, the salvation of our souls. You see? The salvation of our souls. When you become a born-again believer, you are saved for eternity. End of story. There's no ping-ponging around. You're saved. It doesn't matter what sin you commit. And people say, well, doesn't that mean that I have a license now to commit any sin I want? I'm going to heaven? Yeah, that's what it means. But you don't want to do that because you have the Holy Spirit. You don't want to sin. You feel guilty when you sin. Am I right, brother? Yeah, I mean, you know, when we mess up, when we mess up, we feel guilty. We need to go back to the Lord repentance. This is repentance. Okay? Not for salvation. You see, this is talking about your everyday life, sanctification. It's what we're talking about here. There's none outside him. Isaiah 49:6, 52:10 hints at an everlasting salvation, which was coming. And then some like Simeon in Luke 2:29-30, and those were like Anna, Luke 2:38, were waiting for it. We're waiting for it. You know, putting together this sermon, looking at all the words, and I was reading a lot of them. And there's just the word deliver alone, that Yasha was 200 and, I mean, I could speak another hour if you want. There's like 208 times in the Old Testament. And it's just brilliant looking through. I mean, just I could just poke one here and just say, you know, 2 Kings 6:27, do not help thee, when shall I help thee? That shall I help is the Yasha. You know, Psalm 7:10, my defense is of God which saveth the upright. And they go on and on and on. It's just brilliant. Just so soothing reading all these. This is our Lord and Savior. Isaiah 59:1, hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither has ear heavy. Isaiah 49:26, that the Lord am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob. This is our God. This is our God who sent his only Son to die for us. I got 15 minutes. So there's three different ways when you find yourself in a situation. And again, this is back from the Old Testament. Three different words that describe crying out to God. And it's neat to go through these. The rescuer, deliverer, when you are in trouble, it is a good idea to call out for help. We agree? We agree? When we're in trouble, think about this now. Think about this. What's the first thing in first aid when something happens? What are you supposed to do? In first aid, something happens, what do you call? Was it? Who said that? 911. Am I right? You call 911? Right? Every single time somebody gets through a trouble, they don't think first to call out to the Lord. You get where I'm going with that? Our society has rules and regulations that you need to do something first when you call out. I know at work, you know, there's if you want to, you know, the sexual harassment or whatever, there's procedures. I have to follow specific procedures when I need to call someone out. We just talked about 911. When you're in trouble, it's a good idea to call out for help. The Lord hears the cry of his people. He is the deliverer. Jeremiah 33:3. Call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And so throughout the Bible, there's many instances of the people of God crying out or crying unto the Lord. The very first one was in Genesis 4:26, when men first began to call on the name of the Lord. Genesis 4:26. And there's three different words, and it's really interesting. Three different words. There's a word means kara, and it's a daily crying out for help. We find that, like I just said, Genesis 4:26. It means to call on or upon a person specifically by name. Thus, to call on the name of the Lord had the idea of a personal appeal to God Almighty by name to help in times of need. This is a daily crying for Him to help in times of need. In other words, men learned that they could not go it alone on this earthly pilgrimage. We need to daily call on the Lord. Then there are other times where things get a little more serious. This word is zaak. It's a cry for mercy. Zaak had another meaning beyond just calling on the name of Jehovah, like a daily call out. It always carried the idea to cry out, call for help, literally with tears and together as a group. There was always an urgency and grief born in this heart cry. So there's a daily cry out to the Lord, there's a cry for mercy, and there's a cry for deliverance. That's what we've been talking about today, the deliverance. And this is tesaak. This was the third word they used for crying out. It extended the meaning even further. It was the most urgent, even desperate cry. It always carried the idea of calling out together and making an outcry, a loud distress call to the Lord. I asked a brother earlier, I says, where is this cry out right now from all the Christian leaders around the United States to end Planned Parenthood? Where is the cry? Where are they storming the gates of Congress to stop this murder? We have it on, not only do we have it on ultrasound back years ago. You understand when Roe versus, I'm not getting off on a tangent here, but Roe versus Wade was put in place way before the technology we have right now. And that wasn't enough. So God says, okay, I'm going to have all these videos come out now. And we still have not, it blows my mind away. Where's the cry for deliverance for those unborn human beings that are being murdered every day? Where is the cry from the Christians? So what can we learn from these three words? Number one, God longs for His people to need Him. God is against self-sufficiency. He does not want you to go upon this yourself. He does not want you to go in your daily walk by yourself. He's saying, call on me, I'll help. He longs for us to help, to want Him to help. Number two, God often waits for His people to get desperate before they kick their seeking into high gear. You see? We get into a desperate situation. Then we go through our friends, our relatives, our husband or wife, you know, and I'm not getting the answers I want, you know, da 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 da. Then we go to, oh, okay, God, can you help me out? It's terrible. Yeah. And number three, God loves to put us in situations where there's no way out but for an answer from heaven. Been there, done that numerous times. Financially, numerous times. There's no way out. And I wouldn't have it any other way. It's for my walk, it's because of number three that I'm trying to stick with number one. Daily asking Him for help. Not getting into this desperate situation. He'll come. He'll come, but you have created your own time frame. You have created your own issues. You have created your own problems. Your own sin that you bathe in every day. Don't blame it on anyone else. It's you. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your friends. It's not your family that doesn't respect you. It's not your boss that owes you a raise because you worked 100 hours this week. It's nobody. Stop complaining. Just keep doing. Call upon God for help. And just keep going and obeying Him every day. A couple examples of this crying out, and I have a lot, but I'll just pick a couple. The children of Israel, which I open up today, Exodus 14:10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Moses for the bitter waters of Marah, Exodus 12:15-25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Moses for Miriam. Remember this one, Numbers 12:13. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Hear her now, O God, I beseech thee. How about Elijah, that great prophet? 1 Kings 17:21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Elisha, 2 Kings 6:5. But as one was falling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. Isaiah, 2 Kings 20:11. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. I don't know what situations the Lord has each one of you in right now. I don't know where you're going after this meeting. I don't know what you're doing tomorrow. But God does. And my challenge here, I'm going to end with a story. I got a couple other things, and I'll end with a story. But my challenge today was to let you know that He's here to deliver you out of any problems. He sent His only begotten Son to die for each one of us. We all understand that. But we can't say that enough. Dan was passionately speaking to that at the Lord's Supper. It was like, I'm like, wow, this guy was like he was just saved. He was so excited explaining that Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross for our sins. He was light. He did nothing wrong. He was sinless. And He died for sinners. It's amazing. It boggles your mind, but keep it simple. That's what He did for us. So here we are. We're saved now. What do we do? We go out and tell others about this. One beggar tell another beggar where to get bread. Everybody wants the answer. Everybody wants the answer. Here we are watching these, you know, in this presidential cycle with these debates going on. And the debate, it's amazing that everybody wants an answer, right? Everybody wants an answer to the social cause. Everybody wants an answer to the economy. Everybody wants an answer to this Iran nuke deal. Everybody wants the answer. Jesus Christ is, always was, and will be the answer. Because that's really what everyone wants. You want peace in your life? Jesus. You want to stop fighting with your relatives? Jesus. You want a happy, happy family life? A happy wife? Jesus. Jesus. Amen, brother. That's it. I mean, that's it. You could come up here for 60 minutes and every minute say Jesus, and that would be a sermon. I don't know how many times we've got to shake it up, whatever, but that's it. And my focus today was to let you know He's there. He never leaves. You turn your back on Him. He's always there. He'll deliver you if you mess up once or 100 times. He'll continue delivering you over and over and over and over and over. But if you don't listen, He'll deliver the enemies to you, like I read. He did it. I don't have time to go into it, but the first two judges... Follow me on this. In the book of Judges, after what I read, when it starts in Judges 3, Judges 3 starts listing the judges, how they delivered, and how usually after they died, then the children of Israel would go back to their sinning again. And basically, two judges, the first two were Othniel and Ehud. And each time they would come in, and they, I'm just going to read this real quick. Where is the one? It says, Judges 3:7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam in the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. Cushan-Rishathaim means a double evilness. It was a double evil king. You get it? It was a real bad guy. Okay? So God sold them into him, meaning He delivered them over to this king because they were being disobedient. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. 8 years of not crying out to God. 8 years of putting up with this double evil king. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord after 8 years, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. The Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel. Huh. Imagine that. 8 years they cried out. Immediately He sent a deliverer to them. who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the first of the judges, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim. And the land rested for 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Think about it. 8 years of putting up with this nonsense. 8 years of a double wicked king. And then he decided, oh, that's right. We have this guy named God. We're going to cry out. And immediately he delivers them for 40 years of rest. It's that simple. It's that simple. Cry unto the Lord. Any burdens you have today, take it to him tonight, this afternoon. Take it to him. He'll answer. He'll answer. He'll deliver you from your issues, your problems, your alcoholism, whatever it is, he'll deliver. Now, sure, society has social causes and social programs that will help. I'm not denouncing any of that. But God will deliver you. He's done it. He will do it, and he continues to do it. Real quick, so they rest for 40 years, right? And then what happens? I won't even get into it because as soon as Othniel dies, they all go back to sinning again. It's just over and over and over again. It's a cycle. It goes back and forth. So I'm preparing this sermon. I'm all geeked up on the Lord, delivery, and being obedient. Find myself working at the airport this week. And we're doing a job at the airport. And I have a badge. And as a little driver, I had to take this training and get the permission to go through the security area. So we have truck drivers that have another badge. It's got a C on it, meaning that I have to take those truck drivers through the gates on at one of the airfields and then go to this dump where we're dumping the spoils we're building. So Wednesday and Thursday, I think it was like 48 or 49 different times. I just kept taking these truck drivers in, making a loop, bringing them back out. And they have to be behind me. They have to be behind me going in and behind me going out. Okay? So literally, I have to deliver them to the gate or else I get in trouble. Okay? So I do it like 48, 49 times. And it's Thursday. I have a physical therapy going on in my back, whatever. And I have to be at a place by 6 o'clock. Or was it 5 o'clock? I moved it back because of this issue. But 5 o'clock. So it was the last load. It was like 4:15. I told the two truck drivers on the hill, I said, you guys are all set. They looked at me. They're like, okay. And I left. Now the Holy Spirit's telling me, what are you doing? You can't leave. You, this is security. You can't leave these guys. They got to follow you out. And I left. So I'm driving down on I-94, 5 minutes off. Get off the airport grounds, go on 94. And the Holy Spirit says, they're going to call you. They're going to call you. You can't do that. You can't do that. You left them. And sure enough, the phone rings. It's like I knew the phone was going to ring. Phone rings. It's a guy from I-480, and he says to me, hey, you left two guys on the tarmac. What are you doing? You're supposed to, bring them out. And I go, my fault. I was rushing. I'm late. I took it, right? My whole point is the next morning, one of the truck drivers comes up to me and goes, what did you do? You left us. You left us. What were we supposed to do? We're driving away, and this flashing car came, pulled us out, says, where's your escort? Where's your escort? And they're like, we don't know. And the Lord just, he just showed me right there. He says, listen. You knew what you had to do. The Holy Spirit told you not to do, so you were disobedient. But you left them. You left them. You left two innocent guys. They didn't know what they were doing. I just told them because of my selfish needs to get the physical thing. You get where I'm going there, right? And the Lord told me, he says, I will never, ever, ever leave you. I will never leave you. No matter what you do, whether it's your fault, whether you're innocent, whether you get whatever situation you're in, I will never leave you. And it kind of put an exclamation point on this particular sermon I was preparing. He'll never leave us. He's always there. He never leaves us. He'll always escort us to the finish. Whatever you're doing. And with that, let's pray. Father God, thank you so very much. You sent your only Son to die for us, Lord. And for that, we give eternal... Our whole lives should be focused on serving you, Lord, just for that reason alone. We thank you for the ultimate sacrifice. But we also thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to live with us, Lord, to guide us and maneuver and get through these everyday lives of all this stuff going on in this world, Lord, this craziness around us, the enemy trying to destroy us, the enemy throwing these, issues in our lives, Lord. There's so many of them. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for showing us that even though the children of Israel, which is a picture of ourselves, Lord, even though they're so disobedient, Lord, might as well be looking right in the mirror. I can look in the book of Judges, but I can look in the mirror and get the same story. We thank you, Lord God, for everything. We thank you for those that came here today, and we just thank you for this opportunity to serve you. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.